You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit TRE.radio.
Musical Ramblings, presented by Francis Butler.
Hello, that was Sound the Trumpet by Henry Purcell, played by Christina Pluart and her group called L'Arpeggiata, with countertenor Philippe Jaruski and soprano Raquel Andueza, playing a spiced-up version of Purcell's Sound the Trumpet, I should add. The album, L'Arpeggiata, is based upon a concert, and here I quote, of Baroque and jazz fusion music with Middle Eastern flavours, which makes it sound rather like a restaurant, and it was played at Wigmore Hall a few years ago. The piece itself, Sound the Trumpet, was written originally as part of a collection of anthology of odes to celebrate Queen Mary's birthday in 1694. Sadly, she died just before hearing it. Really sad. And then Purcell consequently died, or subsequently died, within a year. And so when the occasion arose to celebrate Queen Anne's birthday in 1713, George Frederick Handel was called in from Prussia, and he stepped in with his ode for the birthday of Queen Anne, also known as the Eternal Source of Light Divine. Now, strictly speaking, it wasn't only a royal birthday, also celebrating the accomplishment of the Treaty of Utrecht, the end. The War of Spanish Succession saw a Bourbon on the Spanish throne, an end to the French monarchy as a threat to European stability, and the confirmation of the maritime, commercial, and financial supremacy, yes, of Britain. And Britain got its hands on Gibraltar too. But before we get too excited, Britain wickedly won the monopoly of slave trading from Africa to the Americas, which should not be a cause for celebration. But here we have Ode for the Birthday of Queen Anne by George Frederick Handel, played by Alison Bolson with the English Concert and Trevor Pinnock.
Thank you.
Ode for the Birthday of Queen Anne by Handel with Alison Balsam, the English concert, and Trevor Pinnock. Now, Queen Victoria, another one of her queens, was the most fortunate of women, in so much that not only did she love her husband, Prince Albert of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, but in that being a truly Renaissance prince, he was also a man of a great many talents, one of which was writing very sentimental German Lieder songs, which doubtless he used to charm and soothe Her Majesty whilst relaxing at home in Windsor Castle, Osborne House, or perhaps even Balmoral. Imagine him in his alluringly tight white riding breeches, draped over the pianoforte, singing, even crooning, this little number he knocked especially up for Queen Victoria before an official engagement. Grusch aus der Ferne by Prince Albert, more easily to say a distant meeting. Such a sweet and melodic song, I thought we really have to listen to another one. This time a duet, though I would say he borrowed fairly freely from Franz Schubert, but nonetheless it's a really smashing song, and it is called Winter's Journey, der Winterreise, by Prince Albert himself.
Die Straßen leer, die Wasser still ist.
Der Winterreise by Prince Albert. Sadly, Prince Albert's descendants, and there were many, distributed throughout Europe, abandoned any thoughts of emulating Prince Albert's efforts, and a blank line is drawn, and onward we progress to another fabled queen, renowned throughout the musical world for her magnificent entrance.
Thank you.
There we heard The Entrance of the Queen of Sheba by Handel, played by John Elliott Gardiner and the Baroque English Soloists. The Entrance of the Queen of Sheba, of course, came from Handel's oratorio Solomon, first performed at Covent Garden in 1749. 20 years earlier, Handel had come up against Edmund Gibson, Bishop of London, who had objected to one of his operas, Esther, which was based upon a play of the same name by Racine, being presented at Covent Garden on account that it was grossly immoral to mount a biblical drama on the musical stage. Hence, we moved into the sacred English oratorio. I put in my notes, reverential hush. You know, it's curious to think that the Bishop of Britain had, if not more, at least as much authority as the Lord Mayor himself in those days. I mean, imagine how different things might be if it were the same today. Well, back to Esther. The beautiful Jewish queen and the Persian king, Ahasuerus, who thwarts the destruction of her people. Here is a truly splendid aria, pure sound, enough to revitalize those distant parts. Tune your harps to cheerful strain from Handel's oratorio and opera, Esther.
More. past. Moldar idols, Moldar idols into dust, Moldar idols into dust.
Musical Ramblings, presented by Francis Butler.
We were listening to Tune Your Harps to Cheerful Strain from the oratorio Esther by George Handel, played by Christopher Hodgwood with the Academy of Ancient Music to the delightful English tenor Mark Padmore, conjuring up purity, godliness, and clean living, unlike the Mediterranean variety of tenors who willfully subject themselves to lewd and amorous temptations. They end up singing songs of desperation, such as this one, called Vorrei Morire by Francesco Paolo Tosti, I Wish to Die, sung by a very light Spanish Asturian tenor called Joaquim Pichan, with Giovanni Auletta on the piano. Scura, scura.
sul prato dormo le viole, lieta farebbe a Dio l'alma ritorno a primavera e sul morir del giorno. Vorrei morir, vorrei morir, lieta farebbe a Dio l'alma ritorno a primavera sul morir del giorno e sul morir del giorno. Vorrei morir, vorrei morir.
Vorrei morire, I wish to die, by the Italian composer Francesco Tosti, who was born in 1846 and achieved great fame in the wealthy salons of London, having very conveniently been appointed singing master to the royal family in 1885, an indication that Queen Victoria, unlike the singer of the song, had not yet given up hope. I wish to die makes me feel, as my old Victorian grandmother used to say, makes me feel rather low. So what better than a song that proclaims I wish to live, je veux vivre. Juliet sings not without irony from Gounod's opera Romeo and Juliet.
Oh!
Je veux vivre, the lovely Angela Gorgio singing aria from Gounod's Romeo and Juliet. Wonderful, wonderful Romanian soprano she is. Incidentally, I'm not name-dropping, but I did meet her and her husband, the Sicilian-French tenor Roberto Alagna, one evening in a funny little Italian restaurant off Leicester Square called Giovanni's. It was about 10 years ago, and I went and curtsied, grovelled and fawned and told them I love them, and they were really very charming and gracious towards me. And it was very sad to hear that their marriage broke down, but she's now married to a very much younger Romanian dentist, and she declared in a Times interview that she's very much happier. I suppose she and Roberto Alagna had difficulty in sharing the applause. And here we are, having just heard one of Charles Gounod's great arias. He, however, is perhaps best known for his adaptation of J.S. Bach's Prelude No. 1 in C major from his Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1, to which he set the words of the Ave Maria, somewhat prosaically translating into Hail Mary in English. We're going to listen to the young, indeed the very young, French guitarist Thibaut Garcia accompany the equally young Franco-Danish soprano Elsa Dreisig from Thibaut Garcia's album, which came out in the year 2018, last year. It's called Bach Inspirations. It's a very attractive recording. Ave Maria by Charles Gounod. Two lovely young performers, wouldn't you agree? The album Bach Inspirations has some, as people like to, this dreadful word, but I'm going to use it, has some awesome Bach inventions, transcribed for guitar plus other Bach-related pieces. And I'm going to play another piece from the album. Here he's playing the Allegro Solemne from Le Cathédrale by Augustin Barrios Mangoli, the legendary Paraguayan guitarist and composer who wrote and performed it in the first half of the 20th century.
Musical Ramblings, presented by Francis Butler.
Thank you.
That amazing piece of music was played by the organist Christopher Herrick and the music by the Norwegian composer Nons Leidvin Takle, who, by the by, looks not unlike Sean Connery disguised as an organist. The festivity, the power of life. It was played on a Metzler organ at the Cistercian Poblet Monastery in Catalonia. New guest house has recently been added, and it's well worth a visit. The abbey has a reverberation time of up to 7 seconds. You check it out for concerts. It's a great place for concerts. And it would be a shame not to listen to one of my favourite organ recordings by Christopher Herrick whilst we're on the subject of the organist. I discovered it serendipitously one day in a second-hand CD shop in St. Louis in Missouri, of all places. And to this day, I find myself thinking of Johann Sebastian Bach every time I bite into a hamburger, which admittedly isn't very often and never, never with relish. J.S. Bach's Trio Sonata in E-flat major, played on the organ by the wonderful Christopher Herrick. The first movement from his E-flat major organ sonata, one of six that he wrote, an example of Bach's less common secular work. Most of his life, Bach worked as kapellmeister to Leopold Prince of Anhalt-Gotten, and as Thomas Cantor in Leipzig, music director at the principal Lutheran churches and master at the Thomas School, which explains why so much of his work was sacred. Now, the following piece is the Larghetto aria, written for alto voice from Bach's 54th cantata. I won't even attempt to say it in German. I will go quickly for a translation. The aria is called Stand Steadfast Against Transgression. In plain, simple, straight hedonistic idiom, that means please, at least try to behave well. In this recording, we hear Albrecht Meyers, who is the principal oboist for the Berlin Philharmonic, replacing the alto voice with the cor anglais.
Thank you.
Stand Steadfast Against Transgression, probably first played on the seventh Sunday after Trinity in 1714 at Weimar in central Germany. Now, Weimar was the birthplace of the German Enlightenment, home to both Goethe and Schiller, and frequented by Liszt, Clay, Kandinsky, and many others. The establishment of the Weimar Republic in post-war Germany between 1918 and 1933 also witnessed the development of the Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht partnership. Now, adapted from John Gay's 18th century English ballad opera, The Beggar's Opera, the Threepenny Opera, a socialist critique of the capitalist world, opened in 1928 Berlin to rave reviews. And that is rave reviews from modern intellectual elitists, whom I'm more than certain were a minority group. Now, the music we all know, of course, 90 years on, and it is still performed around the world. And here is a recording of the German cabaret singer Uti Lemper singing Mack the Knife.
Und der Haifisch, der hat Zähne, und die trägt er im Gesicht. Und McKeith, der hat ein Messer, doch das Messer sieht man nicht an einem schönen blauen Sonntag. Liegt ein toter Mann am Strand und ein Mensch geht um die Ecke, den man Mackie-Messer nennt. Und Schmulmeier bleibt verschwunden, wie so mancher reiche Mann. Und sein Geld hat Mackie-Messer, dem man nichts beweisen kann. Jenny Tauler ward gefunden mit einem Messer in der Brust. Und am Kai geht Mackie-Messer, von allem nichts gewusst. Und das große Feuer in Soho, sieben Kinder und ein Greis, in der Menge Mackie-Messer, den man nicht fragt und der nicht weiß. Und die minderjährige Witwe, deren Namen jeder weiß, wachte auf und ward geschändet. Mackie, welches war dein Preis? Denn die einen sind im Dunkeln, man sieht die im Lichte, die im Dunkeln sieht man nicht. Und man sieht die im Lichte, die im Dunkeln sieht man nicht.
Mack the Knife by Kurt Weill and sung by the well-known German cabaret singer Uti Lemper, who is often heard singing in Berlin, which is where Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht set up their partnership during the Weimar Republic in the 1930s. Kurt Weill's wife was his leading singer, Lotte Lenya, and you might remember Lotte Lenya as a rather butch Russian female general who, in From Russia with Love, gets suddenly executed with a stiletto coming out of somebody's shoe. I don't know if you remember that rather astonishing scene. Well, Lottie Lenya was really Kurt Weill's muse, and he wrote for her this song, which we're going to listen to, called Nana's Lied, Nana Song, another Bertolt Brecht poem, which Kurt Weill set to music and presented rather unwisely. He presented it as a Christmas gift to his wife, and she never sang it. Hardly surprising when you listen to the lyrics and discover that it's about an aging streetwalker making sense of her diminishing world. I don't think Lottie Lenya was amused. Here we have a very interesting recording. Good American mezzo-soprano Kate Lindsay sings Nana's Lied.
Ich auf den Liebesmarkt und ich habe viel erfahren. Böses gab es viel, doch das war das Spiel. Aber manches habe ich doch verargt. Schließlich bin ich ja auch ein Mensch. Gott sei Dank geht alles schnell vorüber. Auch die Liebe und der Kummer sogar. Wo sind die Tränen von gestern Abend? Wo ist der Schnee vom vergangenen Jahr? Wo sind die Tränen von gestern Abend? Wo ist der Schnee vom vergangenen Jahr? Freilich geht man mit den Jahren leichter auf den Liebesmarkt und umarmt sie dort in Scharen. Aber das Gefühl wird erstaunlich kühl, wenn man damit allzu wenig kargt. Schließlich geht ja jeder Vorrat zu Ende. Der Kummer sogar. Wo sind die Tränen von gestern Abend? Wo ist der Schnee vom vergangenen Jahr? Wo sind die Tränen von gestern Abend? Wo ist der Schnee vom vergangenen Jahr? Und auch wenn man gut das Wunder lernte auf der Liebesmess, Lust in Kleingeld zu verwandeln, wird doch niemals leicht, nun es wird erreicht. Doch man wird auch älter unterdes. Schließlich bleibt man ja nicht immer 17. Gott sei Dank geht alles schnell vorüber, auch die Liebe und der Kummer sogar. Wo sind die Tränen von gestern Abend? Wo ist der Schnee vom vergangenen Jahr? Wo sind die Tränen von gestern Abend? Wo ist der Schnee vom vergangenen Jahr?
Thank you, Kate Lindsay. Now, many years ago, and I mean many years ago, when I still wore short trousers, I bought a clockwork gramophone with a pile of old 78s at the Chalfont St. Peter jumble sale. And one of them was called How Do You Do, Mr. Brown? I lost the record many years ago, but I never forgot the song. And then, to my joy, I discovered it fairly recently on iTunes during an idle moment when I was just playing around on the computer. And hearing it for the first time in over 40 years, I realised that rather curiously, it was a relic of a German musical review from 1930s Berlin cabaret scene. What on earth it was doing in Chalfont St. Peter, of all places, back in 1959, I have no idea. The mind boggles. But anyway, let us listen to it. Here it is.
How do you do, Mr. Brown?
Oh, very good, thank you.
Well, I'm very, very glad to hear it.
That's okay.
How do you do, Mr. Brown? How do you do, Mr. Brown?
How do you do, Mr. Brown? How do you do, Mr. Brown?
How do you do, Mr. Brown?
How do you do, Mr. Brown?
How do you do, Mr. Brown?
Mr. Brown.
How do you do, Mr. Brown?
How do you do, Mr. Brown?
How do you do, Mr. Brown?
How do you do, Mr. Brownie?
How do you do, Mr. Brown?
Dass gerade die Kategorie vor dem Gesetz verbannt ist, die im Gefühl bei Lust und Spiel und in der Art verwandt ist. Und dennoch sind die meisten stolz, dass sie von anderem Holz. Wir sind nun einmal anders als die anderen, im Gleichschritt der Moral geliebt, neugierig ist, durch tausend Wunder wandern und für dies doch nur das Banale gibt. Wir aber wissen nicht, wie das Gefühl ist, denn wir sind alle anderer Welten Kind. Wir lieben nur die Lieder nach, wie schwül es, weil wir ja anders als die anderen sind. Zu die Qual und die Moral der anderen aufzudrängen.
wir hört geschwind, sind wie wir sind, selbst wollte man uns hängen. Wer aber denkt, dass man uns hängt, den müsste man beweinen. Doch bald gib Acht, es wird über Nacht auch unsere Sonne scheinen. Dann haben wir das gleiche Recht erstritten. Wir leiden nicht mehr, sondern sind gelitten. Wir sind nun einmal anders als die anderen, die nur im Gleichschritt der Moral geliebt, neugierig erst durch tausend Wunder wandern und für dies doch nur das Banale gibt. Wir aber wissen nicht, wie das Gefühl ist, denn wir sind alle anderer Welt ein Kind. Wir lieben nur die Lila Nacht, die schwül ist, weil wir ja anders als die anderen sind. Wir lieben nur die Lila Nacht, die schwül ist, weil wir ja anders als die anderen sind.
How Do You Do, Mr. Brown was followed immediately by Uti Lemper singing Das Lila Lied, from an album of hers called Berlin Cabaret Songs with the Matrix Ensemble, conducted by Robert Ziegler. The Das Lila Lied translates, not literally, but translates into English as the Lavender Song, and it was dedicated to absolute hedonism. Gays and lesbians enjoyed a short period of tolerance in Berlin, inspired by the first conference for sexual reform, which called for sexual behaviour to be based on science instead of religion or any other unscientific tradition. They were still imprisoning the so-called sexual deviants in Britain at the time, but it all went wrong with the rise of fascism and Nazism.
Spend with you these
precious days I'll spend with you.
Frank Sinatra singing Kurt Vile's really very sad September song. And so it all ended in Berlin. And meanwhile, Noel Coward sat at home, accepted as quaintly camp by the more sophisticated members of society, but assumed to be straight, by which I mean hetero, or dare I even say homogenous, I wonder, by the larger tabloid reading British Population. Of whom was he thinking, one wonders, when he sang Cole Porter's song, You Would Be So Nice to Come Home To.
You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so nice by the fire, while the breeze on high sang a lullaby. You'd be all that I could desire, under stars chilled by the winter, under an August moon burning above. You'd be so nice, you'd be paradise to come home to and love. It's not that you're fairer than a lot of girls just as pleasing, that I doff my hat as a worshipper at your shrine. It's not that you're rarer than asparagus out of season. No, my darling, this is the reason why you've got to be mine. You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so nice by the fire, while the breeze on high sang a lullaby. You'd be all that I could desire, under stars chilled by the winter, under an August moon burning above. You'd be so nice, you'd be paradise to come home to and love.
Noel Coward singing Cole Porter's song You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To. I could not resist, since we're on the subject of Noel Coward, playing a song that is just so apposite, so appropriate for today. A song of his from a 1952 review. There are bad times just around the corner. I know we've all heard it, but I love hanging on to every single word, every nuance. Just works for today, doesn't it? It was written and composed with an almost supernatural prescience. So let us appreciate and enjoy Noel Coward one final time. There are bad times just around the corner.
They're out of sorts in Sunderland and terribly cross in Kent. They're dull in Hull and the Isle of Mull is seething with discontent. They're nervous in Northumberland and Devon is down the drain. They're filled with wrath on the Firth, the Forth and sullen on Salisbury Plain. In Dublin they're depressed, lads, maybe because they're Celts. For Drake is going west, lads, and so is everyone else. Hooray, hooray, hooray! Misery's on the way. There are bad times just around the corner. There are dark clouds hurtling through the sky. And it's no good whining about a silver lining, for we know from experience that they won't roll by. With a scowl and a frown, we'll keep our peckers down and prepare for depression and doom and dread. We're going to unpack our troubles from our old kit bag and wait until we drop down dead. There are bad times just around the corner. The horizon's gloomy as can be. There are blackbirds over the greyish cliffs of Dover, and the rats are preparing to leave the BBC. We're an unhappy breed, and very bored indeed when reminded of something that Nelson said. And while the press and the politicians nag, 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 we'll wait until we drop down dead. From Colwyn Bay to Kettering, they're sobbing themselves to sleep. The shrieks and wails in the Yorkshire Dales have even depressed the sheep. In rather vulgar lettering, a very disgruntled group have posted bills on the Cotswold Hills to prove that we're in the soup. While begging Kipling's pardon, there's one thing we know for sure. If England is a garden, we ought to have more manure. Hooray, 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 suffering and dismay. There are bad times just around the corner, and the outlook's absolutely vile. There are home fires smoking from Windermere to Woking, and we're not going to tighten our belts and smile, smile, smile at the sound of a shot. We just as soon as not to take a hot water bottle and go to bed. We're going to untense our muscles till they sag, 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 and wait until we drop down dead. There are bad times just around the corner. We can all look forward to despair. It's as clear as crystal from Bridlington to Bristol that we can't save democracy and we don't much care. If the reds and the pinks believe that England stinks and that world revolution is bound to spread, we'd better all learn the lyrics of the old red flag and wait until we drop down dead. A likely story, land of hope and glory, wait until we drop down dead.
Well, Britain, or rather London, was very much more conservative culturally in the 1930s. After all, it had an example to set to the world. And so Edward VIII obligingly abdicated, leaving everyone in something of a pickle. Couldn't be worse running off with an American divorcee after having heard "How Do You Do, Mr. Brown?" What was needed was a new patriotic anthem to start things off. Of course, Edward Elgar had died 3 years earlier, but fortunately William Walton came up with his Crown Imperial Coronation March, and it quickly became known as Pomp and Circumstance March No. 6. Such was the success with which it was received. It has been played at both George VI and Elizabeth II's coronations, as well as at the wedding, you might remember, of Prince William and Catherine Middleton. Let us applaud and congratulate the late Sir William Walton for this stirring, patriotic piece, reassuring us that all is still well in old Blighty. So, goodbye, and until next week.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.